Thank you, Joe, for that good song leading, and thank you, Greg, for that fine prayer. And thank all of you for joining in. You know, one of the things that the Bible helps us to do is to think spiritually, to think with an eternal perspective. It's difficult to do. We are physical creatures. We have souls, spirits, but we're also physical creatures, and we often get preoccupied with the physical concerns of this life, and it's difficult to think in eternal terms, in spiritual terms. But the Bible helps us to do that. One of the ways that it does that is it tells us a series of stories about people who, just like us, had to live in this physical world and deal with their day-to-day problems and make choices and face challenges. And yet in each life that we read about in the Bible and in each moment of choice or decision, there were people who could see the longer game. There were people who could see that there were greater concerns than simply physical comforts and sustenance. And there were a lot of other people who couldn't. But in these stories, we are taught by example, by fascinating illustrations. We are taught to think spiritually. I want to do that with you tonight for just a few moments by asking you the question, who would you rather be? Who would you rather be? Sometimes my daughter, Micah, asks me things like this. Would you rather be Superman or Batman? I'd say, neither. I just want the royalties. That's all I care about. But that's an interesting question. Who would you rather be? Because to some degree, we get to choose who we are. There are a lot of things in this life that are outside of our control that we can't choose. We can't choose who our parents are. We can't choose the kind of circumstances in which we were born and raised. We can't choose our physical features, unless you spend a lot of money on plastic surgery, I guess. We can't choose our capabilities. But we can certainly choose what we do with our life. And in making those choices, we have to think about who we want to be. And in the Bible, we read about some choices. For instance, if I were to ask you the question, what would you rather be? Would you like to be a city dweller or a nomad living in the desert? Now, let me put it to you this way. Would you rather live in a nice city that has lots of interesting things going on in it, and it's green and lush, you know, gardens and lots of fresh fruits and vegetables? Or would you rather live out in the desert in a tent? Now that's a choice that we don't typically have to make. But if you had to make the choice, which of these two places would you rather live in? One, the one at the top there, it looks quite comfortable, appealing. Looks like an interesting place to live. I can go there, fascinating, see what that looks like. The one on the bottom doesn't look quite so appealing. Can you imagine living in a tent like that every day? Sleeping on the ground, not much to look at, not really comfortable or pleasant circumstances. I mean, just honestly, which one of those places would you rather live? Well, that's true. There are some compensations. Well, that's not just a hypothetical question, because you do choose to live somewhere, and you make choices on how you live and where you live based on what you value, what you think is appealing, or what's important. In the Bible, we read the story about Lot and Abraham, and Lot and Abraham got too successful and their herds were too big to stay together, and so Abraham gave Lot a choice. Where do you want to live, Lot? And we read in Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, that Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like a garden of the Lord. Now that certainly sounds appealing. Sounds like something that was attractive. And so Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. That was his choice. And we read, the two men parted company, and Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now, the point is often made that Lot made a foolish choice. That Lot chose to take his family into an area and a community that was rife with sin and wickedness. And as a consequence of that, he lost his family. Whereas Abram, living out there in the wastes, sparsely populated, sparsely sustained, really, had to keep moving as a nomad, living in a tent, that Abram made the right choice. But on what basis? Lot saw an area of terrain that was inviting and looked like it would be profitable and able to sustain his herds and his family. Abram essentially didn't choose. You know, he let his nephew Lot choose. So how did Lot choose poorly or unwisely? Well, I don't know if Lot considered the wickedness and sinfulness of Sodom, or if he even knew about it. But one thing that I do know is that it would seem that the sole basis of his decision was a material one. And you might say that Abram didn't really choose. He let his nephew choose. But he did choose. He chose to be generous. He chose not to go first. That's the choice he made. And initially, from a material perspective, a human perspective, you would say, well, Lot got the better end of the deal. But he didn't. See, the Scriptures teach us, as the outcome of this story illustrates, that Lot lost his family. He lost his possessions as well to a large degree because God destroyed Sodom. He destroyed the cities of the plain where Lot chose to live because they were wicked cities. And Lot, he lost materially. He lost spiritually. And so when we look at where we want to live, when we look at how we want to treat other people, whether we want to elbow our way first and get the better choice, or if we want to step back and say, you know what, you choose first. We need to have a spiritual perspective. We need to have an eternal perspective. Who do you want to be? And sometimes by getting second or third best, you come out best. And that's a spiritual perspective. If you're choosing spiritually, would you rather be a big, strapping warrior or a scrawny kid? Let's say you had to go into a fight. And it was going to be a fight to the death. And you had a choice. Would you rather be the big brute, or would you rather be the little wimp, the little kid? Which would you choose? And it's not too tough of a choice, really. Would you rather be this guy or this guy? I mean, it's one or the other. You know, if you had to choose, and you were going to have to fight, which one would you choose to be? Well, I know which one Saul would choose to be, because Saul says to David, you're not able. David, you're a boy. You're just a young man. You're not even trained in combat. You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. Would you rather be Goliath or David? Which one would you rather be? Well, the answer to that question, the right answer to that question is which one's on the side of God? Because when you're fighting on the side of God, it doesn't matter how weak or scrawny or incapable you perceive yourself to be. That doesn't matter. You fight for what's right. You do the right thing. You stand up to those who are evil. And they may be impressive and immense, powerful in the ways of the world, taught to be warriors from their youth up. But that doesn't mean they're going to win in the end. With God on our side, and He must be on our side, we will win. So who would you choose to be? Would you choose the armaments of the world, the methods of the world? Would you choose the philosophy of the world? Would you choose the excellence and impressiveness of the world to fight? Or would you choose the Word of God, the sword of the truth we talked about last week? Would you choose to face the challenges of this life, trusting in God's ways, regardless of whether or not they were impressive to society at large? Who would you choose to be in that fight? David slew the giant, cut off his head. See, the outcome of the battle, with the perspective of hindsight, you know which one to choose to be. Better to be the scrawny kid who says, "I trust in the Lord." But that's the kind of thing that you have to have. You have to have perspective that is spiritual, that is eternal. You have to think that way. It's not easy to do in the heat of battle. Would you choose to be an idol worshiper or fuel for fire? You know, if someone gave you a choice, bow down to this image or be cast into a flaming furnace. Now, that would be a difficult choice, wouldn't it? Because although this might be uncomfortable and make you a little queasy and you say, "I don't really feel right bowing down to this image," and yet, if all you do is just for a few moments bow down to this image and get everybody off your back, and then you go your peaceful way and everything's fine and good, you know, a moment's inconvenience, maybe you violated your conscience for a moment, but you know, hey, you know, I can always just ask for God's forgiveness. You know, I had to do it out of necessity. I didn't really want to do it, but I did it, you know, and so now I get on with my life. Because clearly the alternative of being cast into a fiery furnace, that is not a good choice, right? That would be a terrible choice to make, right? Who would you rather be? Would you rather be the group that, you know, has a moment of violating your conscience, or be cast into a fiery furnace? Because that can't possibly be pleasant. Which one who would you rather be? Well, we read about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they had this very choice to make. We read it in the book of Daniel chapter 3. And they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "We're not going to bow down to your image. And it doesn't matter what you do to us. It doesn't matter what happens to us. If we get cast into the fiery furnace or not, it doesn't matter. We're not going to bow down to this image." And you know what? They were cast in the fiery furnace. That's exactly what happened to them. But God sent an angel and delivered them. And they were spared. And afterward, Nebuchadnezzar said this. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God." What a tremendous testament by a pagan to the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, this is the perspective of hindsight. Nebuchadnezzar was angry. He was full of wrath, and he insisted on throwing these boys into the fiery furnace, and he had every expectation that they would be burned up and that their choice was a foolish one, a stupid one. But from the perspective of hindsight, Nebuchadnezzar gained a little bit of spiritual perspective, and he said, you know what, these boys, they decided exactly the right thing. They did exactly the right thing. Now, you know, initially, it didn't look that way from any kind of material or human or world point of view. You wouldn't find very many people who would sign off upon the choice that they made beforehand. But afterward, Nebuchadnezzar saw, we see. And given the same test today, I'm not saying that we would be delivered by an angel miraculously, but there is going to come a day when we will be delivered by angels. And on that day, the perspective of everyone will be the perspective of Nebuchadnezzar. For those of us who choose to serve the Lord and don't compromise our faith, the perspective will be, these people did the right thing. They trusted in God, and He has delivered them. That's a spiritual perspective. How about the choice between being rich and well-off or being a homeless and starving person? Well, you know, given the choice between being a rich guy, finely attired, lots of money, lots of food, nice, beautiful home, lots of wealth and comforts, being that guy, being the beggar in the street who's covered with sores and dying of starvation, all things being equal, I guess I'd choose to be the rich guy, right? But all things aren't equal in this choice, as it turns out. Because the rich guy, in spite of all of his wealth and opulence and popularity, he's a man who doesn't serve the Lord. And Lazarus, he may be poor, he may be starving, he may be pretty pathetic in worldly terms. But he is in God's grace. So that brings another element to the choice, doesn't it? It should. And we read about these two fellows in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 21. Jesus says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. I like to travel. Peg likes to travel. And we have this thing. We see someplace beautiful or nice on the television. And we say, I'd like to go to there. I'd like to go to there. And, that, you know, when you're looking at this guy, you think, man, that guy's got it going on. He's living life. And the other fellow, at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, who in their right mind would choose to be that guy? I'm not saying you have to be poor. I'm not saying you can't be rich. But clearly, as Jesus tells in this story, there's got to be some other elements involved in who you decide to be. Because in this story, the rich man died and Lazarus died and the rich man went to torment. And Lazarus was taken by the angels up to the bosom of Abraham where he was comforted. And that's the perspective of hindsight. That's the end of the story. That's where you get to see the outcome of the choices these men made. And I don't even know if the rich man chose to be rich, if he inherited his wealth. I don't know if Lazarus chose to be poor. In all likelihood, he didn't choose to be poor. He didn't choose to be destitute. It was a misfortune that happened to him. And yet, he did choose this. He chose to be right with God. And so, whose life do you value? Who do you want to be? Does it really matter whether the rich man was rich or Lazarus was poor? Does it really matter in the end, in the perspective of a spiritual assessment? No. What matters is who's right with God. So who would you rather be? Would you rather be a king or a prisoner in chains? Well, you know, you would think that that choice would be fairly obvious. Look at this picture. Here's a guy sitting on his throne. He's wearing a crown. He's well-dressed. He's sitting in judgment. He's the big dog. He's the guy who gets to make the call. And here's a poor fellow wearing chains, and he's on trial. And if you had to choose between which of these roles to play, which one would you choose? Would you choose to be the rich king judge, or would you choose to be the poor, ill-treated prisoner? Which would you choose to be? Well, in this case, we're talking about King Agrippa and the Apostle Paul. And here Paul, in spite of his imprisonment, in spite of his chains, is trying to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian. And we read in Acts chapter 26, 28 and 29, Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian? You're trying to make me like you? You're trying to make me a Christian like you?" And Paul said, "Whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." Paul wouldn't wish the chains on anybody, but if it takes the chains, then so be it. Because the most important thing is that you be a Christian. Chains or no chains. And it's a lot better thing to be a Christian wearing the chains than to be the king who is lost. So which would you choose to be? Whose life do you value? What's your goal? Would you rather be the offender or the offended? In most circumstances and relationships between people, would you rather be the one who wins or the one who loses? Would you rather be the guy who gets the prize or the guy who loses out on the prize? In a dispute, would you rather be the guy who wins the dispute or the guy who loses the dispute? There's a song, you may have heard it, "I'd rather be a hammer than a nail." We got Simon and Garfunkel. "I'd rather be a hammer than a nail." Well, it seems fairly obvious. You'd rather be the one doing the pounding than the one who gets pounded, right? But Paul gives us some perspective on this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, talking about disputes among Christians, and he says this, "The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you've been completely defeated already. You've already lost. You go to court, you're suing each other, you've lost. You've already lost. It doesn't matter how the case turns out in court, you've already lost." He says, why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. See, this is the perspective that you have to come into every dispute, every argument, every difference that you have with somebody. Do you really just want to win? Or do you want to do the right thing? Do you really just want to beat the other guy, or do you want to save the other guy? Do you really just want to be the guy who comes out on top, or do you want to be the person who shows love and deference and wins God's favor? You may lose in the court of human opinion, lose in the court of worldly perspective, but to win in the court of God, God looked down on you and said, "That's one of mine. Look at him. He'd rather be wronged and cheated than to turn around and do something to hurt somebody else. Man, what? He's a great servant of mine. Wouldn't you rather have that judgment from that judge?" It's a spiritual perspective. It's an eternal perspective. It's not a worldly one. But it's one that we need to try to learn and practice. And finally, brethren, you know, would you rather be a healthy person or a sick person? That seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? Well, I'd much rather be healthy than be sick. Wouldn't you? And yet Paul, who is sick, says this in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 8. He says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." Because that was his perspective, you know, initially. I'd rather be healthy than sick. I'd rather be in the peak of health, strong, vigorous, able to go about my daily business. I've got good work to do, important work for the Lord. I'd rather be healthy than sick. So please, Lord, heal me. Please, Lord, take this thorn in the flesh away. But Paul gained some perspective, some spiritual perspective. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" You know, in the towns and cities and places that Paul traveled, there were lots of healthy people. Lots of people who were just youthful and vigorous and in the prime of their life and healthy. And Paul here was this fellow who's kind of beat up and worn down and had these physical problems. And who would you rather be? Who would you rather be? Paul says, you know, if this helps me to trust in the Lord and to gain spiritual strength, I'd rather be sick. It's an amazing perspective, isn't it? In conclusion, we often have a worldly opinion of what is best for us in life. It's almost impossible not to. The advantages of physical prosperity are obvious. But if that's our only perspective, then we're wrong. And it leads us to make bad choices, because you think that the best thing for you is simply to be well off materially, and you make your decisions based on that point of view, then you're going to make bad decisions. But from a spiritual perspective, an eternal perspective, in hindsight, you're going to look back on and say, you know, I did what I thought was best for me materially, but it wasn't best. We must learn to value our closeness to God above all things. Above all things. And to be happy, to be content, to value the fact that I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian, I have God's grace, Jesus Christ is in my life. I may have this illness, I may have this problem, I may not be all that well off, but I have God in my life. And that means more to me than anything. And in terms of how I spend my time and the kind of decisions that I make, and that's what I value. That's the way you got to think. To appreciate a life lived well, even if we're not well off. That's what I mean when I say, who would you rather be? So, who would you rather be? I can't tell you how to get rich. I can't tell you how to get healthy. I can't tell you how to live the life of Riley, but I can tell you this. You can be a child of God. And it doesn't matter if you have to live in a tent in the desert. It doesn't matter if you have to fight a big giant. It doesn't matter if you have to be thrown into a fiery furnace. It doesn't matter if you have to be a beggar in the street. It doesn't matter if you have to have some kind of illness. If you can be a child of God, that's everything. And if you're not a child of God tonight, declare your faith in Jesus Christ. Turn to Him and away from sin in your heart. And be baptized. And leave here the best person that you could possibly choose to be. Come forward and say you will. Just stand and sing.
before the Lord's Supper.